It's really nice to see Brother Jamie here this morning, because he texted me yesterday, providing me the readings for today. He also said if he didn't make it in the morning, that I would have to cover for him. So I'm relieved to see him here this morning, and I look forward to his words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, young people. It's wonderful that we are able to join together here this morning to worship our Lord and Father in heaven and to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, who died for us. Do you remember your first friend? Most likely it was a play date set up by your parents, because their friends have kids that are your age, or maybe it was someone at Sunday school, or someone at preschool or regular school. But that's not what I'm looking at. Your first friend that you met. And this might be hard for anyone under 40 to understand, but years ago, children used to roam the streets without their parents, looking for something to do and other children to play with. And for the most part, it was successful. I remember one summer when I was 7 or 8, all my regular friends were either traveling with their families or didn't want to see me. So I was roaming the streets and I saw this young boy playing by himself. And I just simply walked up to him and said hi. And it turns out that it was at his grandmother's house. And he spent every summer there, 1 month every summer. And so we played together every day that summer. And then he left, and I was sad. And the next year, I went walking up to the house in the beginning of July, and there he was, and we played again. And this went on for 3 years. But on the fourth year, he was no longer there. It was sad. A friend. Gone. But I just simply went and found someone else to play with, looking for another friend. And we always meet new friends, and some become our best friends. Those friends that you have everything in common with, who you talk to or see each and every day. Years ago, boys used to cut their thumbs and put them together, and they were called blood brothers. There's a common saying that Dan likes to use, my brother from another mother. And soldiers who saw combat together are referred to as brothers in arms. Because they all share a tight, close-knit bond that lasts for a very long time. Growing up, my best friend also was growing up as a Christadelphian in Sunday school, and in our later years, we spent every evening together, every weekend, hanging out. And I had the opportunity to move over here for work with my brother-in-law, Dan, and who I knew my entire life. And my best friend, who I grew up with, spent all that time with, he never came into the truth, and his life went this way, my life went this way. And as I said, I was looking for work, and Dan had an opportunity to hire me as his helper. 32 years later, we're still working together. We were not best friends growing up. We knew of each other, but we didn't really hang out. I needed something, and he provided it. Throughout the years, we've lived together some 4 or 5 times because of convenience. When he needed a wife, I gave him my sister. And I still apologize to both of them. But what binds us together, and the amazing thing is 32 years of working together, I could have made more money working without him. He could have made more money working without me. But we have both chosen to stay working together. Because what binds us together is our belief in God, our walk in the truth. What started out as people knowing each other, we've become almost inseparable. People don't say, oh, Dan, or oh, Jamie. It's Dan and Jamie. And that is what happens when we get to know one another with a common bond. Jonathan and David had a deep friendship. Jonathan opposed his father for David. He gave up his royal clothes, his right to become king after his father. He gave all of that to David. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 4. And now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even of his sword and his bow and his belt. And over just one or two pages in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 41. As soon as the lad had gone, David rose from the place towards the south, and he fell on his face to the ground, and he bowed down three times, and they kissed one another, and they wept there together. But David wept more. And then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord. May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever." And so he arose and he departed, and Jonathan went into the city. The devotion and the love that they had for one another was developed through their love of God and strengthened by knowing that they both try to follow God. David wept for Jonathan when he died, and he cared for his children. I remember when Jeremy had his heart issues, and he gave an exhortation, and one of the questions that he asked was that he said, "I questioned who would look after my family, who would care for my children." That is something that we all think about with our loved ones. Jonathan and David, they made that oath one to another. Now David, he continued on, and as we know, he made some mistakes, some very big mistakes, but yet he continued to follow God. 1 Samuel chapter 13. In verse 14. "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you." And over into Acts chapter 13. And verse 22. "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do my will.'" He found favor in God's eyes, a man after his own heart. Again, back in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 6. "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all of the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." He strengthened himself in God. David had a special relationship with Jonathan and also with God. Moses had a special relationship with God, didn't he? In Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 and verse 11. "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. And in verse 17 of the same chapter, so the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please, show me your glory. And then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, without filter, without uneasiness, without worry of offending. They knew each other. They were friends. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land in which I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. And so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And the Lord buried him, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses did wrong. He sinned. But he was a friend of God, our Father in heaven. He did punish him, but he also showed him the love and the compassion. He buried Moses. How wonderful is that? Moses did not die alone. If we have God in our lives, we are not alone. We will not die alone. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Quickly over into James. James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And one more over in Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. Looking up the wrong one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. Are you not our God, who drove the inhabitants out of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? To be called the friend of God, to make a covenant with Abraham, to promise to care for his descendants because of the love that he had for him. Just like the covenant made between David and Jonathan. What a great and wonderful thing to be called the friend of God. Jesus, when he called his disciples, they all dropped what they were doing immediately and followed him. What he was doing was far more important than what they were doing. They were his friends, called by him personally, and they believed in God as he did. Their friendship and their relationship was based on God, the mutual love that they had for him. I remember Brother Eric Bears. Dan and I were changing the hallways of carpet in his condo building. I didn't even know that he lived there. And he opened his door, and there he was, and he invited us in, and he carved, just like Brother Heighton used to. And he showed him to us, and I said, I had no idea that you did this. And he says, well, why would you? You've never taken the opportunity to get to know me. And that was very quickly followed by, why does it always have to be the older people to reach out and get to know one another? I did not take offense to that because it was absolutely true. I had not taken the time to get to know him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in my Bible, the heading, there's two headings. Pay for what you have vowed and enjoy what God gives you. We have all made a vow, haven't we, when we decided to get baptized, to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And we all said when we were baptized that we believe in the word of God and in his power. In verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Brothers and sisters, enough is never enough. Do we look at the truth in that way? Do we say, I need more, I want more? Or do we say, that's my fill for the week? We need to strive for more. We need and we should enjoy what God has given us. And part of what God has given us is each another. Brothers and sisters, we all here have become blood brothers and sisters through the shedding of our Lord Jesus Christ's blood. That is the bond that ties us together. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, forbearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. For as we are many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or in ministry, let us minister to our ministerings. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who lends with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not all of us will become best friends. But just as we do when we start a new job or move into a new neighborhood, we look around and we get to know those around us to see how we fit in. For the past month or so, I've watched the Pennies sit in different locations, trying to find their spot in our ecclesia, trying to see where they fit in. We've been given an awesome opportunity. God has put together us, this ecclesia. Why? Why this group? I do not know. I know that I've been a member of this meeting for 32 years, and I still do not know some of you. That is my error. But maybe by getting to know all of you better, just getting to know some of you for the first time, it may enrich my life in the truth. I may enrich your life. Now, I know that this verse is speaking of marriage. What God has joined together, let no man separate. God has put us together as brothers and sisters to enrich our lives that we one day may be called his friends. We're given this opportunity to join together to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our elder brother. Let us also take the time to remember one another, to get to know one another, that we may also be friends one to another.